got you, Todd. Thank
Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Interview Behind the Scenes, the weekend edition. Guys, this is Michelle Comwell Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and Jamie White, my co-host, is joining me. And today, Jamie and I are going to have the opportunity to chat with author T.W. Embry. We're very, very excited to have him join us. Jamie, Todd, welcome to the show. How are you both?
I'm doing well.
Doing okay.
Well, good, good. I have a frog in my throat, and I have no idea why. Oh, my gosh. So, sorry about that. Well, I'm looking forward, guys. I know we're looking forward to jumping right into the chat, and we're going to start. I always live vicariously through everybody's weather, though. So how is the I do. But for once, I can go. I'm over here in Texas, and it's been nice and beautiful, and had this kind of like this crisp fall thing going. How about you guys? Jamie, I've always been jealous of Jamie. She's over there in Florida, so, you know, it's always perfect. So how are you guys?
It's a little cooler now, but, you know, it's also been raining a lot for a while.
I love it.
Yeah, so,
love it. How about you, Todd?
I live in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and we're having one beautiful winter day in Florida. It's probably 79, 80, and nice and bright and sunny and cool, breezy, wonderful.
Love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, again, Floridians, I love you. I lived in Florida for a while, and I remember it, you know, so well, how beautiful it was. And but Texas, we're holding our own. You know, it's nice here too, because usually it's so hot, you know, but it's wonderful. All right, guys, we're gonna jump right into it after a brief message.
Hi, this is Cecile Monique, and you're listening to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, your source for the hottest in indietainment's news and features.
So, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone?
Hi, my name is Todd Embry. My pen name is T.W. Embry. I live in Port St. Lucie, Florida, with a multitude of rescue animals, my wife, and my daughter. And I write as a—I was started out as a hobby, but it's more of a more of compulsion now. My wife owns a flower shop, and that's where I spend a lot of my time.
Very, very cool. And again, Todd, welcome. And, you know, what I always do, and I think I mentioned this before the show, all the authors that come on, I love finding out, you know, we love discovering how each author found their writing path. And was it, even though you may not have started out in it, was it a lifelong dream, something you've always wanted to do, but you did other things? Or was it actually just a newfound passion? Boom, you just realized, hey, I'm good at this.
No, actually, I started as a child writing ghost stories for my grandmother. But they were so, because I have ADD and I'm dyslexic, they were, no one else could read them but me. And it was very frustrating to try and tell a story that someone no one else could read. So we moved around a lot because I'm a Navy brat. And so in the months of moving, I kind of forgot that that's what I was supposed to do. I didn't find out again until further along in life until I was in my 40s that I was in culinary school. And it's part of an AA degree. So there's a complete language and math and all that. It's a complete AA degree. And so I'm in the writing class, and the professor handed out an assignment of in class to write two comparative paragraphs with a conclusion. And I did mine in, like, I don't know, 20 minutes. It was pretty simple. It was easy. And I'm looking around, and all the other kids are all just kind of you know, pulling the thumbs and riding around in circles and whatnot. So I handed him, he looked at that, and he looked at me, he looked at that again, and he says, so how many books have you written? And I said,
wow.
Well, I'm not going to write any books because I want to be a chef. And so after I several failed attempts at being a chef, I don't have the timing for it. I have the I can make one thing at a time really, really well, but two things not so much. So I finally admitted that to myself. I met an author who was giving a speech at the local library, and I was like thinking to myself, you know what, that's a really cool gig. I could do that. I sat down, and that night I began the beginnings of my first novel, which was Revenge from Mars. And I haven't looked back since, and that's been 6 or 7 years now.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that that creativity won out, and came, you know what I mean? It just came out. It will find its way out, regardless, know. And
it found its way out as a child. I used to tell outlandish tales and get myself in trouble all the time. I even had second grade teacher, Mrs. Cottle, she called home one afternoon, and I wanted to know when I was going to bring the leopard that I had living in my treehouse to show and tell.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, there, you were showing signs right there.
Yes,
very,
exactly,
very
yeah.
Awesome.
Tell everybody about your writing process.
My writing process is evolving still. I know after three novels and that sort of thing. The hardest part for me is the idea. Once I get the idea down and I get the title to the idea, because the title of my stories, the word, they are literally part of the story, a literal interpretation of the story. So then I start sketching out characters before I sit down at the computer. And when I sit down at the computer, I turn my muse loose, and sometimes I watch myself typing and watching what I'm doing and realizing that I don't really know what I'm typing. So, you know, it just comes automatic almost.
Very, very, very cool. You know, I think with writers, it seems to be the case. I'm sure not always, because even with myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can change and evolve. But you show signs of what you're more prone to. You write science fiction and fantasy. Have you, were your tales and your, you know, the things that you talked about when you were kids, your kid, was it science fiction? Have you always loved that genre, or did you grow into it?
I've loved it since I saw my first episode of Star Trek.
I love that show. Yes.
Yeah.
Never
so
be
I,
a red
I,
shirt.
I've been
learned never be
since.
A red
yeah.
shirt. Because the red shirt is always worth.
I can't be Scott. He's the only living red shirt alive, you know. So.
I know.
No.
Okay, he did. That's right. But
mm-hmm.
I learned. Someone mm-hmm. said that the other day, and I was like, and I remembered after they said, "You're right," because always, whenever they went down to the planet, you know, there would be like
yeah.
the blue shirts, and then they would have the red shirts, and you know,
mm-hmm.
they were always told to go check that out, and they never came back. So yeah, never be a red shirt.
You should have ordered Spock. Load the landing pad with cannon fodder.
I know. Basically, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool.
So anyway, I was working on a new short story that I just started today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Toby and Chester, and it starts out. The chapter is called A Boy and His Dog, and it's a story of Toby and Chester throughout his life, and how he morphs. It starts out on Luna, and how it morphs, and he finds out his dad's a temporal time agent, and it just goes, you know, left turn from there.
Nice, very cool. Yeah, so you know, Jamie, you're studying something new too. I guess that's in the air now. So.
Yeah,
air, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
It's all in the air.
That's what happens when you start nano with something you're already working on anymore.
I know, that's true.
It does.
It's the best
it
way
does.
To get that fired up.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you were close to the end. So anyway, that doesn't help.
Well, yeah, I'm on the last. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
NaNoWriMo, do you do that? Are you participating in that at all?
No. The only thing I like about deadlines is the flapping noises. They fly across my head.
Oops, go. I love that quote.
Yeah, so I don't. Anything has a deadline, and I'm not interested. No, not at all.
Okay.
Very cool. You know, I was thinking about what we were just saying, and, well, the question I asked you, and I realized that I read more, like, gothic historical romances, you know, always, you know, that type of
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm into
mm-hmm.
the steampunk, the sci-fi, and the fantasy, so people do
mm-hmm.
evolve, but
mm-hmm.
in your series, do
mm-hmm.
how many will be in the series, or I know you're writing a short story. Is this part of that universe,
mm-hmm.
or are you going off somewhere completely different now?
Well, this is kind of like, I write the short stories as a sideline. I want to kind of I want to submit them to a couple of prominent magazines and see if I can get a bite.
Okay.
A series, because there's some of them are, you know, 25,000 words long. In my series, there's three novels completed with a fourth one about a quarter done, maybe a third done. So probably four, I think.
Four books in a series, and okay, so you're on three. So you're gonna do one more, you think?
I think this is probably the last. I call them the Snarf novels because that's the main character, because one's all the way through them. So there's one Snarf book left that I'm working on, and that is titled "Those Unseen" is the title of that one.
Okay, very cool.
So,
what kind of things inspire you when you're writing?
What kind of things inspire me when I'm writing?
Yeah.
Well, scenes from a movie that one of my favorite movies is one of the things that sparked my imagination. For instance, I'm a really huge Star Wars fan, and in the Return of the Jedi, when the Empire Strikes Back at the end, when Luke crashes his fighter into the Dagobah swamp, one of my characters is actually a map maker that is making maps looking for what I call life planets, which can sustain life, like Earth. And because there are sort of large civilizations in the galaxy that are starving, a life planet is worth a huge amount of money. And he finds one by accident because he crash lands on it. And when he does, it's populated by a race of intelligent insectoid type creatures. And his infection of their society with his technology is where that story evolves into. And I thought that was just a good way to find that. Also, my household pets have inspired me quite a bit. And sometimes I get one at Walmart, whenever I go there, which I hate. And sometimes I get one at the grocery store, driving down the road. It all depends on what I see. It strikes a chord.
Very cool. Do you have any authors, you know, growing up that were your favorites?
Oh, yeah.
That influenced
you,
and who are they and why?
Yeah, one of them was Jules Verne. I read, once I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I was hooked, you know. And about that time, a friend of mine named Mitch gave me a copy of sci-fi short stories. And in that book, the first sci-fi book I've actually owned, there's a short story about tourists on Mars. And that is where I got the idea for Revenge for Mars from humans moving to Mars. That's where I got that idea from. So that's, I can get up just about anywhere. Yeah.
Cool.
What do you do when you're not writing?
Well, I deliver flowers for my wife's flower shop. I like to watch, of course, sci-fi movies, keep up with that. Lately I've been reading some works from some fellow authors of mine. Both of whom are very talented. There's Rival Gates and Anthony Gertz, and so that's what I pretty much do my free time of late.
How I love to see or hear how it may, you know, now that you've discovered your writing paths and, you know, you're established and you're a published author, how is it affecting your daily? What does family and friends say about you now that you're published?
Well, the family and friends thing is kind of odd. It seems that they all want a free copy of my work. Not that I don't want them to have it. It's just that they're $20 a pop, and I have a lot of family. It gets rather expensive, actually. Sometimes that's the only sales my book makes. I get a kickback, I guess you could say. But they've all been extremely supportive, and they now when I bow out of a family gathering. One of the things I like to do is go over to Okeechobee and play bingo. And I bow out of that because I'm not really into crowds. And I say I want to work on my book, and they just, okay, have a good time. They leave me alone for the entire day.
Wow.
And I don't get that much because the flower shop was open 6 days, so I worked 6 days. Or sort of, kind of. I wouldn't really call what I do work, but it beats not working, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I love that.
I'm sorry, say again?
I love that. That's
sorry.
Very cool. No.
Okay, good.
Jamie,
okay.
Yeah, she has a question for you.
What's something that people that have been following you for a while might be surprised to know?
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't quite understand the last word.
What is something that people that have been following you for a while, what would they be surprised to know about you?
Would they be surprised to know about me?
Yes.
Not much. I kind of put my life out there. I don't really have any drive fast cars and drink fine bourbon, I guess. I mean, I don't really think I don't put out there. But.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's very
now
cool.
That's out there, I don't have to worry about it no more, right?
There you go. Now you know everything, guys. And you heard it here. No, I'm just joking. Oh, my goodness. So if you were to ever write something completely, what would be one of the genres that you would, you know, say, no, I will never write in a genre, but... Okay, I'm not asking this the correct way. What would be the genre you were writing in, you know, if we asked you to write in, but you felt like you would never write in? Am I saying that correctly?
I would never write a biography or an autobiography. I'm not – that's not my bag, if that's what you're asking.
Right, right. You normally wouldn't write in. What would that be? So you're saying more just a nonfiction, but everything else is pretty much open. You would do romance,
let's not say that, shall we? I would say my genders are predominantly science fiction, but I'm kind of straying a little bit into horror. I have a short story titled A Life Not My Own. It's about alien abduction on a teenager. And it's a bit graphic and it's a bit crude, but it is. I don't think it could be any other way because this kid is just tortured all the way to the end. So it's certainly horror with a sci-fi twist. I mean, they think he's crazy and they threw him in an insane asylum, and that's just it just gets wilder from there and there. So anyway, that would be a horror, I think, are the only two I would consider.
Why do you think – I am curious because I do believe that horror is coming back on an upswing because, you know, it has its ebbs and, you know, lows. I think the mainstay has always been romance. Mainstay has always been a mystery, that type thing. Western had died down forever, but I think it's coming back. I mean, I believe it's always had a strong core group. But it's beginning to come back. Science fiction, I think, is a mainstay. But why do you think the science fiction and horror is so close? Because I have noticed that many sci-fi writers will fall into a little the horror and vice versa. And I find myself doing that, overlapping. Mm-hmm. So why do you think, in your opinion,
why do you think
it's so close?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, because it's really easy to stray across the line from science fiction to horror. And I think you can thank Aliens for that. Because that was the first movie I saw, the really terrifying alien, truly terrifying alien. Now, the rest of them four kind of hokey and this and that and the other, but that was the one that broke ground. And I think at that point, I think that people started to stray into the horror part of it. And I find it easy to stray into horror part too, because I love a twist, and I don't really care for a happy ending, because you know life's not full of happy endings. And so yeah, it's just a really fine line to stray over, I think.
And it is true. I agree. But sometimes I'm going to be honest, as a reader, it just hurts. Like if there's not this, I guess we're trained to want the happy endings. I think, you know, in reading, we're just trained. So when I do see one with a realistic end, it kind of jars me for a second, but you're right. And I think, but those are interesting. You know, those are unique and fresh, but sometimes you're thinking, oh, but I want this, you know, so badly. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't my statement. I don't know what I was going with that. I was going somewhere. Oh, here I am. I got it.
You found it. Okay. Well, I understand the part about wanting a happy ending, because when we were children, I guess, you know, Lassie and Matt, all that,
yeah.
That was what we had to watch. That's what there was to watch. We were pre-programmed as children to have a happy ending. I got news.
That is true.
Life ain't like that. Yeah, life ain't like that.
It isn't. Well, you know, and that was what I was going to ask you this question. Not all science sci-fi folks that write, you know, may believe, you know, that there is out there, you know, outside the galaxy, you know, but some do. So I'm curious, do you think maybe there is something out there other than, you know, just us here on Earth?
Absolutely.
Or whatever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We would be foolish to think not, because they just released a count of the galaxies that we can see, and it's 2 trillion galaxies.
Wow.
Now, in each of those galaxies, there's probably a round figure of 100 million stars. So around those stars, if there's only 3 planets, that's 300 million stars in each galaxy, of which there are 2 trillion.
Wow. Incredible.
The number is so large, we can't comprehend it. So the odds of us being of it one in that many number is foolish notion. It can't be. It's so small of a chance that you can win the lottery like 15 billion times on the same day and still not equal those odds.
That's cool. So you never know. That's right. That there are other beings out there other than just us here on Earth, you know, hurling around. And so
exactly.
I like that. Yeah. You know, why not? You know? So, and I think that's why I like science fiction and fantasy, because you can explore the possibilities, you know, because I'm fascinated by those accounts of the beauty triangle and just, you know, all of that stuff, you know. And people don't realize that Einstein, you know, they always talk about him, but they don't talk about his other research, which was talking about alternate, you know, universes and things like that, going off more into the area. I mean, that was why he was coming up with more of the things we know him for, was to research these other things. And so, I mean, you never know. So, yes, very cool.
The odds are just too small not to. So, in fact, I suspect that the reason we haven't been contacted is this as simple as this. Who wants to visit a planet full of squabbling, dirty children?
Oh, well, there are challenges, but, overall, you know, I think that they would find us united if, you know, they were to, you know, to visit, you know, they put it that way. We would unite probably pretty quickly, you know, so, but I don't know. But I like the possibility to think that there are other places, and you never know, and you know, and peoples and things like that. I think that's cool. Now we may get letters for this, but guys, this is just our opinion.
Yeah, IMO,
it's
IMO.
It's all good.
Right?
It's all good. Just everybody chill out. So. So.
Well, I hope I've not offended too many. I don't mean to. I just
No, you haven't at all.
Yeah.
No, but you know. You know, you just state your opinion, and I agree with you. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting your opinion out there. So I think it's fine. All right, Jamie, sorry. I took the twist just way out there, but I am curious. I am curious the Bermuda Triangle and all that.
You know what? We're getting random.
Like, we really are.
People are, you know, probably starting to expect randomness to just, like, pop off. So we're all there.
Our show really is, Todd. We are just going, we're just like, hey, you know what? Why not? You never know what to expect when we're on the air. So,
exactly.
And I think that's
let's
fun.
Let's just call and hang out. Yeah, let's just call and hang out.
Yeah, you've got to get, right. You've got, you know, it's, you know, have fun. I really believe that is what's needed, just to be have fun, laugh, have a good time, and just not take everything so seriously.
Because life is too short and may not be here tomorrow.
So enjoy and
know.
Just, you know, go on.
Exactly.
And
enjoy the moment.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Yes. Right, right. All right.
So, we are actually getting a little bit of time. So where can everybody connect with you to find out about your releases, events, you know, stuff like that?
I have a Facebook page. It is T.W. Embry on Facebook. I have my Twitter account is at T.W. Embry. My Amazon, you can find it under any of my book titles. My first book is called Alien Manifesto. Book two in the series is called Earth's Mirror. Book three is called Revenge from Mars. I also have three charity anthologies that I'm in. Steps in Time is one of them. I can't recall the other name of those two, but they are on my page. You can get them on Smashwords. You can get them on Barnes & Noble. And that's about it.
Very, very cool. Todd, it's been awesome chatting with you. It's fun.
I had a wonderful time. I did.
Yes, yes. And you're more than welcome to come back anytime, any new event or release, or you just want to come and hang out with us, you can. And we would love to have you come back. If you don't mind, it's been a little weird and random at times. You're welcome to come back. So thank you for joining us. And
Jamie. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Jamie, as always, fun. And, you know, I'm enjoying this path we're going down with the strangeness. And how can everyone get in touch with you?
I have everything on my website, jamielwhite.com, JamieLwhite.
All right. And there you have it, everyone. Thank you so much for just hanging out with us for a little while. We hope that you'll go show some love to T.W. Embry. Grab copies of his books. He's awesome. Follow him on social media. And we just hope that you have a wonderful weekend. So, guys, why? Because you deserve it. And, guys, be good to each other. All right. Show that love. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, are we all done?